sitting here right now, Tashkochem and Hashemayim, and that we have our Chabura, Holy Chabura, Baruch Hashem. So with Baruch Hashkochem, that we have our Yedidim, Ahuvim, that appreciate and have a Cheshek, we mishtatef together, Baruch Hashem. He wasn't that we should be Zecher, make use of our Chabura to grow and stay together.
Amen.
So, what did we work on last time? What did we work on before?
Matan Torah. The idea of Mondays, Thursdays, Shabbos, Mincha. The idea that when you open up the doors, you're opening up the doors of Ruchnius. And that the Beis Medrash is transformed into a little mini Har Sinai.
Reality
in terms of history, historical fact, the Maim at Har Sinai, which could not be duplicated, and you can't have that many people at one place and tell a lie, as it were. So, just from a, it's not a skacha, it's a historical reality of what happened at Har Sinai.
It's a claim that millions of people heard something. You can't make such a claim like that. It's confirmed by a whole nation. So a book or something like that.
So could be that I'm wrong. I thought that part of the Hupta was to what the Rav said in terms of Torah reading, that we're supposed to be thinking of how our Torah reading is similar to Mamai Har Sinai. So I focused on when Torah reading was taking place, those the connections between them, and came up with a number of different parallelisms between it. And
what do you mean by parallel?
When one has an aliyah, it's kind of like you're going up to, you know, to receive the Torah.
Right?
When we carry the Torah to the Bima, it's like everybody's surrounding the Bima, like Har Sinai, and all Klali Yisrael around Har Sinai. And then some people have been had to stand during the Kriyas Torah, so people are standing when they receive the Torah. The fact that we all kind of like crowd around the person with the Torah and we kiss him and we follow, kind of like Moshe came down with the Lukot. You could imagine how, you know, people would crowd around and, you know, we were down for the same reason. Second Lukot, whatever. It's just like different things like that. Even, I don't know if this is true or not, but you know, like, when we go like this, why do we have to hug?
I have no idea what that
is. Right, so I read it was somewhere once, but I don't remember what it was, but I was thinking that maybe it kind of symbolizes the Lukot. I don't know if it's the case or not. But
that's interesting.
I just kind of thought,
it's similar to the pot.
To the pot. I don't know. I don't know if that is. There's a number of things like that that I was like thinking about, like, you know, the fact that when we pick up the Torah, we pick up the Torah to show it to everyone. That's like Moshe really coming down, showing everyone all the books. And,
very nice.
I think it sounds like you were maybe very much on board.
Really? Okay. One sec. I forgot about that. Focusing on the wolfiest part of it.
And the main thing is that I think that we should be largest. When you take up the Sefer Torah, Kuzman Salsar is that we're actually standing at Mount Har Sinai. Actually, no, it's not just a mushel. There's a realism that has really taken place. We're not accustomed to such a concept of that even. And like you said, when you open up the Aron Kodesh, so you're opening up to a world, it's opening up to a world of Ruchnius, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Shina, right? That concept of opening up the doors, and the doors opening up, and it's not just like the back of the Aron Kodesh, you open up the doors, and inside, you're opening up to Mamish world of Ruchnius. You have to make use of everything in the world. Even a Goyish thing, especially a Goyish thing, you have to, use it.
Use it.
It's a reminder for the God tonight, so it's just like a COVID, right? Many years ago, there was a about doors. Maybe the name was the monster or something, and all kinds of fictitious, it was cartoon characters, that were in imagination, the one that made it. They were in a different world, and in order to get to the world, there were doors, just plain doors. The doors weren't in the doors of the house. Just you open the door, and then you walk into the world of an undress thing? Yeah, very easily.
Narnia?
What?
Narnia.
Narnia, maybe. What was it? Wow.
Back in the day.
Maybe.
It wasn't Monster or something?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
What?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it was called. The door to the wardrobe that was going through to the world.
Yeah, but it was like the doors, and the doors opened up. And the doors weren't.
I didn't see it. I read the books.
What?
I didn't see it, but I read the books.
Oh.
I don't know.
Was that what it was?
It had a cupboard, a closet that would open and go through it to another world.
When you went to the world, the doors, you were in a different world.
Yeah.
But the doors weren't the doors of the house, or the doors were no, just a door. and opened up the door, and you walk into a different world.
I don't know if it's the same one.
What?
I don't know if it's the same one.
It doesn't sound probable, but I mean the concept is the same. The idea that a door was was a thing by itself, and then by opening the door, you were going into a different world. The only way you can come back, had to come back. Opened up and you came back to this world.
Yeah, I'm sure because
it's what?
Something like that.
Right. Was the book?
There were a series of books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same one that I'm thinking of.
I certainly just know about it from hearsay. Anyway, the Maisa, they have the billion Havdalahs, like. That's the concept that I'm saying, that the point is it opens up, so it's not just like a quick empty box that you don't save a terror. You open those doors to certain very deep, something happens, the doors open up, and you're not just opening the thing that to say the courage or the back of the unquietish, but the doors opened up. You're going into a world of Bukhmias, of Shkhina, of Kedusha. And again, it explains so much that many years it was a puzzle to me, all those tefillahs that we say, I mentioned last week. And we say when you're with the Ur Kurdish, like it's very strange, all these very high Kurdish tefillahs that we say. Even the Brit Shemay is such a holy Kula. Erdem knows the translation of it. It's an Aramis, but it's like dealing with the Yisrael and Yisraelis. It's so basically founded on the foundation. You can read the Brit Shemay, very deep and high level. And every time we go to the Kurdish, the Brit Shemay, we always say, right? Even you say, Vahi Besoraron, Vahyam, that pasuk itself is, Vahyam Mashkuma Hashem, Kuma Hashem, Rise Hashem, Yehuzah Yehbesa, Nefer, we're so used to saying it that, I know it doesn't, this is the thing that you say when you open up the Holy Ark. But when you're thinking about what it means, Kuma Hashem, you say, Rise Hashem. Very holy things, very significant and deep things. And we say it every time that we open up the even the Torah Hashem Hadgula, Hadgula, that's the terminology of the spirits, right? Okay, everybody say, this is from last week. Before we go on, but this is also, I guess, I want once again just, I was running around today and have a chance to drink anything, so take advantage of your hospitality, of usher. So by side, I want to do our, no Uvda for tonight, but just before we move on tonight, I just want to mention again to the Eilim, the last few weeks that we were working on the Yisias Mitzrayim, on the Makis, Kriyas Yam Suf, and then also on the Maamid Har Sinai. That these are really the yesodis, the foundations of our whole Yiddishkeit, really, as I am trying to emphasize to you, that it's something that we're supposed to really be connected with the whole year, with the Makis, and the Kriyas Yam Suf, and I can't overemphasize to you, Rabbi Say, that you shouldn't be put off the fact that outside our holy little chabura here, Elabad, you don't hear people talking about it so much. The way we discuss it here, it's something that you should hear, you know, you'll be able to hear from other Yidden, other circles, other people talking about it and discussing it, and, you know, in Cheshvan, you hear talking about the Dam and the Tzvadeya and the Shin, given by Yonis and thoughts about it, just like we speak about it in Nisan. The whole year really should be connected with the Machias. That's our, you see that in the Nusach Tzvila, and in the Chumash itself, it's repeated over and over again. You know, the motivation, even for monetary things. And you look up, you know, so it's the Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos is made Tzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara, I'm just learning a Gemara in Pesachim, an Arve Pesachim. So the Gemara says there that you make Kiddush Friday night, so the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, we have to say Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. You know, what do we do it for? Why do we mention Mitzrayim? So it's a Gemara. The Gemara learns it out, you know, from the Hekesh. That when you make Kiddush Friday night, you have to mention Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. So it's a theme that you see it manifested in the whole of Avodas Hashem. So those of us that realize it and appreciate it, so when it comes to these parshas, so it's a machaya for us, because it gives us a refreshing, you know, chizik and a refueling, everybody say, vitamins the whole year. It has a lot of meaning to us. If we live with the Tzias Mitzrayim we're supposed to, so when we come to these sedras, you gotta refuel it up, you know, load it up, fuel it up, fill it up, you know, like they used to say by the gasoline stations, fill her up, George, you know, fill her up. So we come to these parshas, we gotta fill her up. Fill up, you know, the chizuk from the, because the whole year we're thinking about shchin and borod and the arba. Now it comes to these parshas. You know, it's oxygen. We gotta, you know, we inspire ourselves. So Abuchadim, the last few weeks, that's why we've been talking about it. And what can I tell you? Take it with you. Take it with you. I would suggest, you know, especially this of the every twice a day when we're mekayim the mitzvah of Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim, we try to go to the Esther Markets quickly, right? We say the Shira every day, try to do this of the pausing for a few seconds, a few minutes, whatever, get the picture clear, you know, of picture clear of the scene, standing, you know, Klai sort of standing, and the victory and the simcha of seeing the Kel Nekomos Hashem, Hashem took revenge, you know, on the Rishoyim, and say the Shira with enthusiasm, with a koil, say it, you know, with kavana, Rabbi say, what it deserves. This is not the things that what I was saying here. It's not Mordechai Zelinsky's chiddush. Really, there's no chiddush. But all we're doing here is just dusting off, you know, the importance of the shira. You don't have to come to our bad to learn that's important. Don't say chas says it's important. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said when he witnessed the greatest demonstration of the Malchus Shemayim. This is what he said. So. You don't need me to say that's important. I'm just bringing your attention that you should look at it, you know, and think about it yourselves. And if you think about it yourselves, you come to the same conclusion as what I'm saying, that it's very important. So it's very important. So even though, again, I don't like to make a kitchen of, you know, of other people, even though you don't hear people making a big deal about it, you know, the big deal that should be made about it, but That's one of the main purposes of our chabura here, that to be mechazek ourselves in areas that, for some reason, whatever the reason is, it's just neglected. And people don't make a big deal when it should be done. So, Rabbi Sai, take it with you, and every day try to, you know, say it with kavod and give a few moments of thought, right? And of course, the Maimed HaSinai, you should try, you know, to visualize every day what it looked like, you know, seeing the millions of people hearing the Dvar Hashem. I also suggest that I suggest it as an Ubda, but you know, if you can say that one of the six Zichronos speaks about Maimon HaSinai. So that's a good idea to say that, you know, to relate to Maimon HaSinai. Okay, Rabbi Say, I'm leaving less and less time for our Ufda tonight. So I'd like to share with you tonight, Rabbi Say. Okay, we've done this before. These are veterans. I hope Hashem will give me to get across the word for tonight, Rabbi Say. No, Choshen Mishpat, we have, if we want to go along with the parshas for, we want to go along with the parshas, you know, for a guide, you know, for Ubdus, we have Parshas Mishpatim, Rabbi Say, which screams out Choshen Mishpat. Parshas that Muska Rishon, we would think that people like ourselves, even though we're all in some way connected with the, you know, with the money world, with business, whatever, but if you're into the economic scene, Rabbi Say, but the mindset, Baruch Hashem, none of you know, have any shachatabi with you know, very big time business, you know, maybe some of them you do, I don't know, but the mindset, always make the scene of the other MS, and you have the gangsters lined up there, you know, the division for the people that are over on Choshen Mishpat, and they would call up somebody, sometimes like ourselves, or sometimes it could even be a rub, you know, and you see the guys lined up there, you know, in other MS. Gangsters, hoodlums, murderers, their machine guns are bulging out of their jackets. They're there with their equipment and with their clothing. And they call up this firm person, firm businessman or something, and they say, you know, you made a mistake. I don't belong with these hoodlums, these gangsters, you know. And they say, no, sir, up here, the other MS, the deep, heavenly voice, we have no mistakes up here. Kindly join the line, you know. And then they show him all kinds of serious examples of how he's over on Choshen Mishpat. In other words, in order to be guilty of Choshen Mishpat, you don't have to be like a Muslim, a gangster, a bank robber. you know, sometimes a person is not careful with different examples during the day of things happen in daily life that people could be over on Choshen Mishpat. I imagine people in the money world, in the money world, you're even more prone to different examples where people without kavana and not having bad intentions, even if a person is trying to be very careful with things, but sometimes you don't have the sensitivity enough so that people could be nirshal mamish and all kinds of examples of Choshen Mishpat. One example would be, you know, you say barbishes are rapping, right? So barbishes are rapping. What am I going to go with a jackhammer, go into, you know, the main street and dig a hole in the middle of the night, you know, barbishes are rapping. But if you're riding in a bus, you stick out your foot in a place where people walk by, there could be, that's a barbishes are rapping, right? You don't have to take a jackhammer and dig a hole in the Yerushalayim. Kov Yafo, or the main street over here, I know the main street here is in Shemesh, but you don't have to come in the middle of the night and dig a hole, right? If you stick out your foot, it's So it's the bar, but it's a ramen, so they say. And there's so many tefillin like that, that you look at it, that think of the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, they say, well, it doesn't really apply so much to me. But in the principle, it applies. Sometimes you borrow a pen from somebody. Depends. So think about something you have to make an order or figure something out. And you put it in the mouth, it's like chewing on a pen. So besides that, it's moralistically speaking, it's not right to do. But besides that, halacha kufa could be like a geneva. It could be like shel shel lomidas, because the guy bought it, didn't own it to you. I'm not saying you should go chew on his pen. So it could be like that, and that's really a shoyl. Like, you know, if you're using it for without permission, shoyl shel lomidas is like a ganav, right? Examples of different things. First, they show him in the video. Olam Emes is chewing on somebody's head, or you borrow a chair. Sometimes you have company, or you borrow chairs from somebody. The people, you know, they lean back on the chair. Right? It affects the chair. So even though you didn't break the chair, you know, but just to lean back on it, you're being masochist, they say. So. There again, you have an example of Shalom Midas, because the guy didn't loan you the share to break it. So I'm seeing the many countless examples that a person could be over in different ways in Shalom Mishpat, without being a gangster, without being a mobster, without being the mafia, you know. So what I wanted to suggest is that Uvda, let's say, first of all, we should spend a few minutes every day trying to think through the last 24 hours. You know, if there's any kind of fear that you might have been over in Kosher Mishpat. We have that technique that we use for many things, right? But now we want to use Kosher Mishpat. Spend a few minutes every day just thinking, what did I do the last 24 hours? And have your focus on, you know, on Kosher Mishpat. Can I pick up anything? And say a tefillah every day to the Bnei Shalom. Make it, you know, tefillah in your own words. Ask the Bnei Shalom to open up your eyes. And if there is anything wrong that you're doing, so he should show it to you, because you want the utmost with all your heart and all your courage, with all your sincerity, that you don't want to be over in Kosher Mishpat. You don't want it, right? So you can say a tefillah that it's powerful to open up your eyes to see in these different situations where you might be over. Okay, everybody says, is that clear? I just want to... Right, everybody says, is that clear? Everybody, right? Well, clear. But Upta is, right, to spend a few minutes thinking whether it's different serum where you might be over, and, you know, pray to the Bnei Shalom to open up your eyes, right, that any possibilities he should show you, you want to hear. Okay, everybody say, the keeping a Kosher Mishpat is very, very chashuv, Ein Hashem, very, very chashuv. And I'm sure it'll bring a bracha. The ratzon to keep it itself, it will bring a tremendous bracha to yourselves, your families, to Klal Yisrael, they say. We should see Mashiach Tzkenu b'karov, they say. Okay, good enough.